Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
September 2024, the demonic-looking red-skinned paranormal investigator with a heart of gold and a love of the word damn is poised to return in a fresh film entitled Hellboy the Crooked Man. And this time, the beloved franchise steps into the horror genre, giving the story a new dimension. This feature adaptation of the long-running Dark Horse comic sees Jack Kesey stepping into that iconic role, with Brian Taylor in the director's chair. In the Hellboy the Crooked Man, Hellboy and a rookie BPRD agent get stranded in 1950s rural Appalachia, only to discover a small community haunted by witches, led by the Crooked Man. Jack Kesey stars as Hellboy in Hellboy the Crooked Man, the third film in the Hellboy franchise. Jack's film credits include Shiro's, The Killer, The Outpost, Without Remorse, Mosquito State, Peel, Deadpool 2, Baywatch, Horse Soldiers, Death Wish, and Juggernaut. Jack's television credits include Claws and The Strain. Martin Bassendale plays the Crooked Man in Hellboy the Crooked Man. Martin has performed nationally and internationally across TV, film, and theatre, from the BBC to Netflix and the Royal Shakespeare Company. He first trained at the Bristol Old Vic, then subsequently specialized at the renowned physical theatre École Jacques Lecoq in Paris. He has used his movement practice in Italian operas, Jacques Tati remakes, and even on tour with the cult band The Tiger Lilies. Television credits include Masters of the Air, Smothered, Becoming Elizabeth, Black Earth Rising, and Endeavor. Film credits include On Chesil Beach, Holmes and Watson, and The Time of Their Lives. Brian Taylor is the director of Hellboy Crooked Man. Brian wrote and directed the twisted satire Mom and Dad, starring Nicolas Cage and Selma Blair, which premiered to rave reviews at the Toronto International Film Festival. He is the creator and executive producer of Happy, the executive producer of Brave New World, and recently adapted the graphic novel Outcast. His feature films as writer or director include Crank, Crank High Voltage, and Ghost Rider, Spirit of Vengeance. On this episode of Celeb Savant, we'll be focusing on Hellboy the Crooked Man, and we'll be speaking to Jack Kesey, Martin Bassendale, and Brian Taylor. Quick overview. So, Brian, at what age did you feel cool? You want to be in the entertainment movie creation world, and how did that journey progress to where we are today? So your hybrid journey of your being in the entertainment world.
I still don't want to be in the entertainment world. I don't know how to answer that question.
Just trying to get out.
No, I mean, what a great job. You get to hang out with these weirdos. Look at these guys.
What age did you think cool you wanted to hang out with weirdos?
Well, I mean, when I was young, I saw a thing on TV, with Steven Spielberg directing something, and they showed him on the crane, you know, like coming down with the camera and like pointing and saying action and telling people what to do. And I was like, whoa, that looks like a fun job.
And how did that in the thought process move into you actually doing it?
That's more time than we have on this on this call, but it's a grind. I mean, everybody kind of does it in different ways, you know, and if you really want to make films, you know, you just find a way to do it. And these days there's more ways to do it than ever before. You know, these days you can pick up your camera and make a film. So there's as many different ways to become a filmmaker as there are filmmakers.
Thank you. Martin, your journey, what age did you think, cool, you want to be acting or be in the creation world? And how did that journey progress, the hybrid version?
Hybrid version, maybe like 18. I was going to go and do like science and research at university and then do like genetics and stuff. And then the teacher was like, that like one teacher, you know, the person that influences you is like, absolutely no. You cannot do that.
A teacher was like, Martin, you really suck at genetics.
Yeah, like you're an absolute moron. You know, you'll fail, you'll waste your whole life.
Do something else.
What you should do is, pursue theatre and acting, which I'd only started like 2 years before. I was quite late to it, super shy kid. Yeah, then I trained in the UK for 3 years, and then went to theatre, and then went to Paris and trained again in Paris with loads of mimes and clowns and stuff like that. So it's been a bit of a very far from genetics now, but it's never too late. Maybe I'll go
Hey,
back.
so what was the attraction to study mime and clowns?
Oh man, I think always I've been into storytelling without words and storytelling with physicality, probably more so than like scripted things and studying words and stuff. So I think clowning is just like, it's just been there for millennia, hasn't it? It's like, how do you make people laugh with your presence or with, the stupid shit that your body can do or whatever? And mime is probably the more theatrical, serious version of that. Like, how can you tell a story without speaking? And I guess like seeing some theatre companies do it very well at the Edinburgh Festival. I used to go up there quite a lot, in Scotland, and it's just like makes me just think of like magic or witchcraft when you see people like shapeshift in front of your eyes. It's like mad, mind blowing. So I was like, yeah, I absolutely want to do that.
Jack, over to you, your journey, hybrid version.
I was 25, and I don't know. I don't know how it happened. I had no aspirations to be an actor. No one was an actor in my family. I was just in and out of trouble, and the circus was the only people who were hiring, me. So I joined the circus, so to speak, and like Brian said, I grinded it out. It wasn't a fun ride, but it was exciting. And here we are.
And when the transition came, moved into acting, was it something that you were surprised that you took to, or was it a natural progression?
A little bit of both, I would say. I think the surprise was how much I enjoyed it. I saw a bunch of kids, maybe younger than me, had a lot of joy. They were very happy. They were free. I was very stiff then. I was very angry and stiff, and I took to it. I enjoyed myself around these people, and it was kind of seductive in that way. I got to be myself. I discovered myself around these people. So it was a bit of a dual process. It was natural, but yet kind of unraveling, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Brian, so back over to you. So tell us, how did you approach this latest rendition or iteration of Hellboy?
Well, what makes this one different is it originates with the creator, Mike Mignola. I think what we all embraced was this idea that we want to bring. It's not Guillermo's version of Hellboy. It's nobody else's version of Hellboy. It's Mike Mignola's version of Hellboy. We wanted to bring that to the screen with as much authenticity, and sort of love and respect for the original material as possible. So we were adapting. We weren't rebooting a character. We were adapting a story the same way you would adapt a Stephen King story or a Clive Barker story. I consider what Mike does kind of as good as it gets in the comic book literature space. And so to us, we were taking his favorite story and trying to make him proud.
Brilliant. And Martin, tell us a little bit about your character.
He's a great guy. What can I say? He's it's always a pleasure to play bad people, particularly being a quite a nice person myself. You just jump at an opportunity to play someone horrible, someone mean, someone evil, someone covetous.
Is there such a thing as evil miming, or a mime? Is the mime character always a nice guy?
That's a good question. Yeah,
It's
I
sort of
guess.
a serious question.
Yeah, that is a good question, actually. I'd say probably, I don't know about mime, but like clowning, one of
Well, I
the
know there could
characters
be.
was.
I know in clowning, but I thought specifically in miming.
Yeah, I'm gonna say not yet.
You never see anybody miming, like, strangling someone to death or something. I don't
Oh
know.
yeah, no, I've seen that. I've seen yeah, you can there's all the kind of mad shit out there. Yeah, it's just a gift. It's a gift that when you go back to the comic and you look at all of the incredible artwork, it's like it's so visceral. It's so the way that Mike's made it, it really comes off the page, and it's quite kind of creepy to even to just see these pieces of art that he's made. And so like in a way, I think that's a real joy because There are some words, but there's not so much words. Most of it's visual. And then I think from a physical character, you can let your imagination go wild because you're just taking these little pictures he's made and kind of fleshing them out and saying, well, how would that, if that picture started moving now, how would it move? If you have A and B, like what's the space in between and what
Yes.
the character live there? So yeah. It was a joy and certainly bad evil characters love it.
Thank you, Jack. For the people who might be under a rock or not necessarily in the comic world, tell us who is Hellboy?
The reluctant hero, the jaded hero who struggles with identity and doesn't know if he's good or bad or what he wants, and he's kind of split from half human, half demon, and he's trying to save human beings despite of how he feels or what he wants to do. Is that kind of accurate?
And Jack, tell us, how long did it take you to put the makeup on each day?
15, 20 minutes, man. I had it
Oh,
down.
really?
Genius. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Easy.
Three
And
to
was it
four
come?
hours.
Oh, okay. So sometimes when you see these characters in movies, the weight and the heaviness of the makeup feels uncomfortable. Wasn't it comfortable, or did you get used to it over time?
Martin, how long did it take you? I never got to ask you.
No, I think it was like 3.5.
Yeah, same. 3.5, 4 hours. Barrett, no, it was it was comfortable for the first like maybe like week or two, and there was days where certain things would bother you. It was temperature related, depending on what we were, if there was an action sequence, it was contextual, right? It really mattered on what we were doing. There was days that it was breezy. And there were days where, it was fucking hard, man. It tested your patience, your resolve. I worked every day, 5, 6 days, weeks, first one there, last one to leave. So it tested my patience. It really showed me I'm a bit of a crybaby sometimes.
We understand the overview of the what the movie's about, but what is the specific, Brian, over to you, the specific storyline around this specific movie?
Well, it's based on a story. Like I said, it's Mike Mignola's favorite Hellboy
Yes.
story, and it's called The Crooked Man, and it takes place in late 1950s, 1959. So it's a period piece in rural Appalachia. So it's a bit of a folk horror story. It's not a space opera. It's a folk horror story. Hellboy kind of had this. He had this run of comics where he was a bit of like a wandering night stalker, where he would just sort of like pop into little villages and towns around the world, and you never really knew where he was going or where he came from. But he just sort of wandered, and he would wander into your town, and if you had a monster problem, it was, sort of like he took on the plumber's job of fixing it. And this is one of those kind of stories.
Martin, what was the attraction to be part of this production, besides being the villain?
I think being part of a comic book story, I think the artwork, I was like, shit, this is going to be so fun. The second you start looking at the pictures, like you get the breakdown, you get the audition. I started
Yes.
Googling and I was like, oh man, this is Mike's work is, it's very visceral. It just, the second you see those pictures of Hellboy, of Tom Farrell, of all of the witches and all the like gruesome, like skin peeling off people and people flying around and the horses, it's very, I guess it's like gothic. And it's particularly 'cause the Appalachian background and the kind of the religious element to it as well. I kind of love that world. And I just thought, man, this is going to be fun. This is going to be really dark and creepy. And I kind of love, working with actors on projects. It's so fun because actors are just a good laugh the whole time. Just very good at making, fun with each other. But then, it would be fun to do something which is going to be nasty. You can have fun off set, but then when you get on set, it's going to be creepy. So yeah.
Jack, your attraction to be part of the production?
same. It's kind of like have you ever watched Alone or Naked and Afraid? No?
I've seen snippets.
It's kind of like that. It's like it's exciting on paper, right? You get to be on TV and go on this journey, and then you get there, and it's like, oh shit, man, there's a lot of work to do. Oh, jokes aside, I mean, look, it's a one-off opportunity, right? We all get all kinds of scripts. The ones of us that are fortunate enough to read through some scripts, and they're usually somewhat similar. But how often do you get Hellboy, right? A kind of an independent comic book character, never, right? So you jump at it, and you say yes, and you don't look back.
Brian, first, as a final message to the listening audience, which is around the world, what would you like to say to them about the movie or about life or anything?
Well, I got to be first. No, I mean,
Yes.
I
Life
think
advice, Brian. Let's get some life advice.
we're not going to make it.
Okay.
Everyone is terminal. No, forget the life advice. I have no life advice. As far as the film, if you fancy yourself a core Hellboy fan, like somebody who really loves the character, I think you're really going to like this movie because you're getting sort of an authentic version of Mike's character that I don't think we've seen before. Quite like this. And I think you're going to like this guy. Actually, both of these guys. Another thing about both of these guys is like it's very rare to see stuff that originates in comic book panels like Hellboy does. It's very rare to see guys like this who are doing everything practically. There's no CG enhancement of these characters at all. It's silicone and lube and actors doing actor things. And so I think you're really gonna love the performances of these guys. They feel real and grounded in a way that that I don't see a lot these days.
Martin, over to you. Final message, live message, or movie message.
Certainly not life. I have absolutely no grasp of life. But movie, maybe just on the back of what Brian's saying, like I think it's very rare these days to see movies, particularly comic book movies, without like all of this crash bang, like mad, every kind of SFX, VFX, like crazy post-production on it. And you're watching it being like, where the hell have they even shot it? Or like, did they even shoot it? Or is it all just green screen? Or are any of the actors even there? Or like, it was a real joy working on something where, even though it's in that comic book universe, and even though there are kind of fantasy elements to it, and it still feels like you're making a movie and you're acting with the people you're next to, and you're being directed by Brian, and it still feels very intimate. And for that reason, I think I'm sure that will come across in the final image. And so it's a great opportunity to go and watch something like that, really.
Jack, over to you. Last message, life or movie?
Don't get into acting.
Yes.
And as far as Hellboy, look, I think you'll be greatly surprised. We've done a lot with I don't want to say bare minimum, but we worked our asses off. And I think you'll be greatly surprised. This is a more sort of rated R version. There's a lot of scarier, grimier elements, and that's the kind of Hellboy I always wanted to see. So I'm glad I'm a part of it, and I think you'll be greatly surprised. Check it out.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.